Hey, if you're an IT professional in need of expert advice on building out your security program or making the pitch for new security investments to the boardroom, you don't want to miss a special Security Ledger webinar this Wednesday, sponsored by Hitachi System Security. Starting at 2 p.m. Eastern on Wednesday, I'll be leading an online panel discussion featuring three top information security executives: Fadi Albatal, the Chief Strategy Officer at Hitachi Systems Security; Bertrand Milot, the CISO at the firm Richter; and David Escalante, the Chief Security Officer at Boston College. We'll be providing tips to help you build a solid case for IT security investments, and we'll be talking about common mistakes that IT pros make when building their security strategy. To learn more about the webinar or to register, point your web browser to securityledger.com/CSO panel, that's one word, and we'll see you on Wednesday afternoon. Hello and welcome to the Security Ledger podcast. I'm Paul Roberts, the editor-in-chief at the Security Ledger. In this week's episode of the podcast, number 116, when researchers at the firm Tenable first presented evidence of a number of serious router security flaws to the Latvian firm MikroTik in April of this year, the firm's response was uncharacteristically awesome. MikroTik patched them and disclosed the issues in August, alongside stern advice to apply the fixes immediately. But in the months since the patches were released, MikroTik has been the feel-good patching story that has started to feel pretty bad. The company's customers, many of them carriers and telecommunications firms, failed to apply the patches MikroTik released, and by late July, hundreds of thousands of the company's routers were being targeted by attacks that injected crypto mining code onto the computers of anyone connecting to a website through an infected router. So how did vulnerable carrier-grade routers end up enlisted in a cryptojacking campaign? And what do the attacks on MikroTik's routers mean for overall internet security? To find out, we invited security researcher Troy Mersch of the consulting firm Bad Packets into the studio. Troy is an expert on cryptojacking malware and has studied the growth of cryptojacking campaigns that are using vulnerable MikroTik routers. In this conversation, Troy and I talk about the growth of cryptojacking as a threat and about the recent MikroTik vulnerabilities and how they've given a boost to cryptojacking efforts online.
Hi, I'm Troy Mersch, and I'm a security researcher with Bad Packets Report.
All right, Troy, welcome to the Security Ledger podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me.
We've got a lot to talk about. I actually reached out to you this week because of the big news reported by Tenable Security of this MikroTik router vulnerability, and you have some really interesting insights on that. But your area of expertise is really in cryptojacking. Maybe just start by talking about cryptojacking as a phenomenon and also how you as a security researcher got interested in that particular problem.
So cryptojacking, I like to define it as hijacking your computer, mobile device, or server to mine cryptocurrency for someone else's profit. In other words, it's the theft of CPU resources and energy, which is in the form of electricity. And I've been following this trend. It's been really been around for about a year now. It started in September 2017. And what really kicked it off was the launch of CoinHive, which is a service that provides a JavaScript script to mine cryptocurrency in your web browser. Unfortunately, their service has been abused time and time again. And really what started the most notable incident last year is I discovered that CoinHive was on the website of Showtime Networks, the US cable company and streaming service, and that was definitely not supposed to be there. Since then, unfortunately, we've continued to see high-profile incidents such as PolitiFact, malicious advertising ads on YouTube. They were pushing CoinHive into users. And earlier this year, there was a large incident in the United Kingdom where over 4,000 websites were compromised and, unfortunately, pushing CoinHive onto their users.
So this JavaScript that's used, it's kind of the guts of these cryptojacking malware incidents. How does it work? I mean, is this sophisticated code really, or is it really just about, you know, running a process and feeding the information back to the blockchain?
essence, it's not a very complicated process and how it works. However, the actual mining or the hashing, calculating the hashes that are getting fed back to the blockchain, in this case and in most cases of cryptojacking, is Monero. That process is resource intensive, again, because it's mathematically calculating all these hashes and having to dump them back as fast as they can. So in those cases, we see CPU usage, if it's not throttled, it's over, you know, certain amount, it's going to take 100% of these resources, and that's going to drain energy quickly. So the actual process within JavaScript, honestly, it's just a WebSocket connection. The computation is done on the client side, and those hashes are fed back via the WebSocket. So it's really not a complicated process in how that works, but the actual mining slash hashing process is very CPU intensive.
This is really just distributed computing, right?
In essence, yes, there has been some analogy made to the old days of like SETI at home in the late 90s, where, you know, instead of finding extraterrestrial life, you know, we're mining cryptocurrency for hackers. So in essence, yes.
What's really interesting about cryptojacking is that it is in this gray area between legitimate and illegitimate software, between malware and, you know, I don't know, adware. There are sites that do cryptojacking in an above board fashion. They make it clear to the visitors that, you know, in exchange for their free content, that they're going to borrow some of your CPU processor to, you know, mine cryptocurrencies and help underwrite the organization that's offering the content. What do you see out there just in your research in terms of the ratio between legitimate above board disclosed cryptojacking and illegal, nefarious, non-disclosed cryptojacking?
Unfortunately, the truth is the vast majority of these cases of cryptojacking are non-consensual, malicious, and the users are not aware. I mean, it doesn't go without saying, though, however, there is above board use cases. UNICEF Australia set up a thing called the Hope Page, where users can choose to opt in and donate, you know, their computing power. There was another publication, Salon.com. They attempted to do it. I don't believe it was a success for them, unfortunately, because it didn't bring in the revenue. The majority of these cases, time and time again, are the malicious use. But, you know, inherently, cryptocurrency mining is not illegal or evil, but, you know, when it's done in this way, it is, and it's just the unfortunate truth.
Okay, so following from the is it illegal or not, is the question of is it a security incident or not? In other words, if you have cryptojacking taking place on your computer, is that the same as being infected by ransomware or a data stealing Trojan? And is that something that you can answer with a simple yes or no, or are there kind of gray areas there as well?
There is some degree of a gray area only in how much computing resources are being taken by cryptojacking malware. In some cases, it's throttled that you may not notice anything's happening. Your task manager, 30% usage. I don't hear any other symptoms. My computer's not going slow. So the severity in those cases is really low. You know, and you mentioned ransomware. Ransomware is, you know, in your face, you know, pay up or you're going to lose all your data. So severity-wise, cryptojacking, yes, it is more of a nuisance, but in cases where it's not throttled and consuming all of your resources, it essentially becomes a denial of service attack because you can no longer use your device.
Sure, yeah. But does it necessarily go hand in hand with other types of malicious software? So if you end up with cryptojacking malware on your computer, should you assume or suspect that you may have other stuff also installed that maybe is not going to go away when you close that tab on your browser?
In some cases, we do see that where ransomware is coupled with cryptojacking. You know, if they're not able to pay the ransom, then okay, you know, we'll just let this cryptojacking malware run in the background. But in the economic sense of that, cryptojacking really isn't going to make you a millionaire. Ransomware, extortion scams demanding, you know, ransom to be paid, those are still generating more profit for miscreants. So it really comes down to what makes the most money. And in those cases, it's still ransomware and these other things. But yes, if you see or have cryptojacking malware, it is an indicator of compromise that further action needs to be done and you need to remediate because there may be worse malware there.
Okay, so Troy Marsh, I reached out to you because of the story that came out earlier in the week from researchers at Tenable Security about some vulnerabilities in MikroTik routers. These are a pretty common brand, and in particular, this software, Router OS, has some remotely exploitable vulnerabilities that would make it fairly easy to take over the devices if you could at least authenticate to them. Connect the dots between this seemingly unrelated announcement about a really widespread vulnerability and the cryptojacking problem.
So the critical vulnerability that you're mentioned there, that was actually released in April of this year. And to MikroTik's credit, speaking of the company, they patched it, you know, very quickly. But again, the unfortunate truth is network operators, device owners, anyone that's responsible for managing these MikroTik routers did not apply the update in a timely fashion. So starting at the end of July, we saw this massive campaign starting in Brazil, which had a large portion of unpatched MikroTik routers. And what was discovered was the proxy service, the MikroTik proxy service that can run on these routers, was injecting CoinHive onto every HTTP page that those users connected to those routers were visiting. So with that kicked off this even larger, and there's actually multiple ongoing cryptojacking campaigns affecting, the latest count I found on Census was over 400,000 of these have been compromised. So one thing, an important fact to note with these MikroTik devices is their target market is kind of medium-sized business all the way up to enterprise. And internet service providers, in this case, manage these devices. So to note, typically you're not going to find this MikroTik router inside your house. It's not, you know, quote, a consumer device in that regard. So the patching process and the updating process falls onto the service providers. And, you know, of course, there can be a myriad of reasons that they haven't updated. You know, certain things have to pass testing. Some things maybe, you know, there's just not an urge to update. Or whatever the reason may be, they are not getting updated and the exploits are happening over and over again. And one important thing to note as well here, in some of these cases, is miscreants will compromise, for example, this CoinImp campaign of 115,000 routers. Once they're in there, they're not closing the Winbox port, TCP 8291, that's being exploited. They're leaving it open. And if the router OS is not updated, it just gets exploited again and again and again. So we're seeing cases that these routers are being exploited by one threat actor. A week later, month later, someone else is doing it. And it's just this endless cycle, again, because the network operators, device owners are not updating the router's operating system. The routers themselves, the hardware of the router, is not using its CPU to mine the cryptocurrency. It's pushing that onto the users that are behind the router. So say that router is infected and you're a user connected to it. If you're visiting an HTTP page, because you know it can inject via HTTPS, if you're visiting a non-secure page using the MikroTik proxy service, CoinHive is going to be injected. It's going to be pushed onto the user, and the user's device has to begin, or rather begins, mining the cryptocurrency.
So you said that this is an issue that's affecting mostly small businesses and enterprise. It's a similar dynamic that we see in the consumer space, though, which is that internet service providers who are often deploying and managing these devices are not doing a good job either informing their customers or actively managing the MikroTik routers themselves. It's kind of a set and forget type situation.
It appears to be that way in many cases, unfortunately. And to note, there is no one particular, you know, network provider in this case that's failed to update. I mean, looking at some of the statistics, and I'm not going to name names, but one of the autonomous systems here in the report, they only account for a 2.7% share of the entire thing. And every other network provider down the list only has 1.8%, 1%, you know, so on and so on. So there are thousands of network operators that have their equipment, these MikroTik routers that have been compromised. So it's not one or two providers. There are numerous providers that have not updated their hardware.
So one of the things we've seen this week in the wake of the Tenable announcement, there's a report out that somebody, and it seems like this always comes up with these types of like widespread endemic problems, you know, somebody out there is acting as a vigilante and, you know, compromising these micro tick boxes and then patching them, you know, sort of the Robin Hood type dynamic. What are your thoughts on that?
To be clear, I don't condone that type of behavior at all. However, I can understand the frustration that some of these end users has, because again, these being carrier grade devices, some of these cases we see wireless internet service providers, you know, using these micro ticks that have been compromised, numerous users are connected to it. They're getting these warnings on the client side on their device. Oh, you know, CoinHive, cryptojacking, malware. So I can understand that they get frustrated because they may think, you know, we're powerless. We can't, you know, call up our service provider and say, hey, you know, apply this update. That's not their responsibility. They don't have authority to do that. So because of that, we see sort of these gray hat vigilantes going to say, okay, you know, I know how to fix it. But again, I don't condone that type of behavior.
How does this, these latest vulnerabilities for the microtik devices influence this population of vulnerable devices that are out there? I mean, you've got a Twitter handle, bad packets, bad_packets. And if you're listening, you should definitely be following Troy and Bad Packets, where you do reports or you publish, you know, reports on bot activity and compromised systems. What should we see or expect to see as a result of this, these latest vulnerabilities from Tenable and just kind of the ongoing problem getting this microtik devices patched?
Well, hopefully we see nothing come out of it. And, you know, my statistics that I'm tweeting, I appreciate the shout out, you know, will rapidly decline. But, you know, that's not the unfortunate truth here. With these latest vulnerabilities being published, one of them, you know, very clearly demonstrates you can have full root access to the microtik router. You know, CoinHive, whether you have the opinion that it's malware or not, it remains a clear indicator of compromise. You know, scraping for pennies is not the worst case scenario. I mean, we see cases of previous published reports that these microtik routers that have been compromised, miscreants are turning on the packet capture feature to basically surveil or, you know, exfiltrate all the data that's passing through them, you know, in attempt to steal credentials or any other information of value. And one of the most obvious cases for compromised devices, especially in the IoT realm, is they're used for DDoS attacks.
You know, yeah, they Mirai. Become
highly weaponized. And you speak of Mirai, you know, that's not the case here. That's a form of malware, but that's something, you know, that we monitor, you know, every day at Bad Packets. That's another thing we're tweeting the daily statistics, is these devices that get compromised quickly and easily become weaponized. So back to the question about the latest exploits published by Tenable, you know, I hope that they're not exploited, but, you know, you have to embrace, again, as I call it, the unfortunate truth is I don't expect these number of compromised devices to go down given the rate that we've seen or the lack thereof that they've been updated.
Yeah, it's funny. There's almost like a certain complacency with cryptojacking because it, while annoying, it is not, you know, necessarily destructive, at least outside of the host that it's deployed on. But it's sort of like people are being lulled into complacency. As you said, any of these devices could easily be harnessed to do a much more damaging attack along the lines of Mirai or WannaCry or something else, right?
Yeah, and from the perspective of the service providers and the network operators with these microtik routers is, again, because CoinHive and the other forms of cryptojacking malware are kind of being pushed onto the end users, it doesn't necessarily degrade the performance of the router. So the router itself, hey, you know, I can still route just fine. You know, it doesn't cause a slowdown in the device. Users right. are still able to connect, you know. But again, it's viewed as this nuisance malware, which as it may be, I won't deny that. It's still an indicator of compromise. Much worse nefarious activity can happen. Why don't we update these routers now before the worst case scenario happens?
Okay, so two more questions. One is, I often look at this or think of it in terms of like epidemiology, just because it seems like that's the most easy reach from what we're talking about is like, listen, you've got this, you know, population of vulnerable and infected hosts out there. They're not humans or animals, they're computers, but it's kind of the same notion. So I guess with that in mind, what is the fix for the ecosystem as a in general to take care of or cure this population of sick and vulnerable hosts?
Well, in this case, and this is, I didn't mention it earlier, but all my findings that I publish, obviously public and private, I share with law enforcement, I share with CERT teams around the world. 2 months ago, when this epidemic or pandemic started in Brazil, I contacted CERT-BR, shared my findings. Obviously, unfortunately, I think their role is limited in what they can do for remediation. Haven't seen much done in that regard. Speaking of here in the United States, I contacted the NCIC, the NCCIC. I also shared my information with other partners in federal law enforcement, and we have seen some progress made. One of the cases that I discussed in the recent blog post was a public utility in Washington State. Vast majority of their MikroTik routers were compromised, and I can be happy to report today, none of them are compromised, or at least to my knowledge.
Yay.
So, a little bit of cause for celebration there. But the point being here is to cure this problem, yes, the operator service providers need to apply the update, and other remediation processes. But I think there needs to be some assistance if it comes from the government or the CERT team level to help them. Because at this level, now at 600,000 compromised devices, somebody's got to help.
Final question, if you're out there listening to this and wondering or worrying that a infected router might be managing your organization's traffic, what might be some signs and how can you kind of figure out whether you're impacted by this or not?
The most clear sign is obviously if you're running an out-of-date version of router OS. So any version before 6.2, again, MikroTik router OS is vulnerable, is being actively exploited. Some other indicators of compromise at the network level. If you see suspicious traffic on TCP 8291, which is the Winbox management port, which is how this exploit works, if you're not initiating that traffic, well, someone else is, and they shouldn't be doing that. But beyond that, in this case, to simply boil it down, is update your router's operating system.
Tory Marsh, thank you so much for coming on to Security Ledger Podcast and talking to us about cryptojacking and the MikroTik router exploits.
Hey, thanks again. I appreciate your time.
We were speaking with researcher Tory Marsh of the consulting firm Bad Packets about cryptojacking and the recent spate of attacks on MikroTik routers.